I invite you now to hear selected passages of the Holy Scriptures. First, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 and 6. Listen to this. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 14, familiar words to us. May we hear them as if they are new. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him. What has come into being was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Darkness. In the beginning, in the very beginning, that is all there was. Darkness and chaos and the murky deep. And it was God who went into that darkness and brought light, brought it in the form of order and structure and purpose and meaning, things near and dear to our Presbyterian hearts, out of which all of that earths were formed, life fashioned, creatures created. But first, before any of that could take place, darkness had to be infused with light. Still, the darkness lingered. It retreated to the far corners and crevices of the world. Because as wonderful and beautiful and gloriously astounding as creation is, it was never meant to be perfect. Or rather, we were never meant to be perfect. For where there is light, there is always the potential and the possibility for darkness. And darkness did find its way into the world again, into the lives of a people who were waiting themselves, waiting for the one who come, who would set things right, the ones who would be full of grace and truth, upon whose shoulders authority would rest, the one with many names. They were waiting for him to come. And they cried out, "How long, O Lord? How long? How long must we wait for the light to come?" And then it came. Finally, it came. It came at that point when the darkness was as dark can get. It came when the waiting people did not think they would be able to wait one moment longer. It came. The Word became flesh. On this night, it came. And through him, we have seen the glory of God, full of grace and truth. And so now we know the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who lived in a land of darkness, deep, deep darkness, on them, light has shined. A feast of light. A feast of light that, as we will see ourselves in a little bit, begins with one single flame from one single candle and spreads out, all the while the light growing and growing and growing while the darkness gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And we sing about silent nights, holy nights, and a wondrous star lending its light and singing alleluias to our King, not the kings of this world, not the wannabe kings of this world. The light of this night does not come from them. It never can come from them, despite what the pundits promise, despite how the spin spins. The light of this night comes from our King, whose palace is an animal stable, whose throne is a feeding trough, whose court hands are teenage parents and barnyard animals and wayward shepherds and visitors who showed up 3 weeks late from the east. It is to him that we sing on this night, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Even though we sometimes seem to forget that, even though we do not always see the light, we are more apt to see the darkness. We expect the darkness. Sometimes we are actually more comfortable with the darkness. We are more drawn to a harsh word than a warm one. More likely to see the bad instead of the good, more prone to divisiveness and discord over harmony and peace. As bright as the light shines, we are still drawn to the darkness. Which is why Jesus came into this world the way that he did, to remind us that as dark as it may seem, the light is always still there. Hans Haldenbeck, a Presbyterian pastor up in New Jersey, tells this story of a Christmas Eve service that he helped to lead at a maximum security prison just outside of his town. He writes, "Christmas in prison is not Christmas. There are no celebrations, no gifts, no decorations. For those incarcerated, the only acknowledgement is the Christmas Eve service, led by volunteers brought in from the outside, held in small cinder block walled rooms, dark rooms, with folding chairs lined up, a card table in the middle, and a metal music stand for a pulpit. I've been asked to give the message for that service," he writes. "I struggled through that message. What does one say on a night of hope to people who have lost all of theirs? When I finished, I could tell by the blank stares in front of me that nothing I said had resonated with them. It was just words. Words spoken into and lost in the darkness of it all. And then it hit me. The darkness. The darkness. It was so dark in that room, in so many ways. These men needed light. I put down the printed order of worship. I wouldn't need it anymore. Instead, I said to everyone, in closing tonight, let us light a candle to remember the light of Christ born into the world on this dark night. One of the men in the front row said to me, Pastor, are you crazy? This is a maximum security prison here. Candles are contraband. Not mine, I said. I positioned myself in between the men and the card table with my back to the people. I reached down as if I was picking something off the empty table. And when I turned around, I held in my hands a candle. Except it wasn't a candle, not a real candle. It was a candle in mind only. But I held it in such a way that it would become a candle in theirs too. I held it up high. "Can you see it?" I said. "Can you see how beautiful this candle is?" Most stared at me with bewilderment on their faces until someone off in the second row said back, "Yes, Pastor, yes, I see the candle. It is beautiful." Another head started nodding. I carefully placed the candle back on the center of the table. I reached into my pocket and I produced a box of imaginary matches. "Who would like to light our candle?" I asked. "Me, let me light it," one of the men exclaimed. He came forward. He took the matches out of my hands. He struck it. And he lit the candle, and he went back to his seat. We all gazed at this lit candle in silence for some time. This room full of men, hardened by years, and in some cases decades of prison, all of them soaking in the light of this imaginary candle. And I swear that I could see the flame of it reflected in their eyes, sinking even deeper into their hearts. How thirsty the soul must be to so eagerly see a candle's light glowing in the darkness. Eventually, it came time for the service to end. I leaned over to blow the candle out, only to be cut off by a loud voice from the very back row. "No! No, Pastor, no! Please don't blow that candle out," this man said. "Don't ever blow that candle out. I want it to stay lit so that every time I enter the darkness, I will still be able to see its light." Hans did not blow the candle out that night. It remained lit long after that Christmas Eve service ended. And when he came back the following year to lead the Christmas Eve service again, when he walked into that same dark, cinder-blocked wall room, he was greeted by familiar faces who pointed to the card table where the candle still was, where the flame had stayed lit all year long. My sisters and brothers, I have no idea what is going on in your life this night. I have no idea what the coming year will bring us, bring our church, bring our community, bring our country, bring our world. Sometimes it seems like the darkness is all there ever will be. But if this night tells us anything at all, it is that the darkness is never too dark. Jesus Christ is born. The light shines. A feast of light. In the name of God the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, thanks be to God. And may all of God's people say, Amen.